Would you bow your head in prayer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you again that we can gather into your house. We can hear from your word. We can offer you our praise. We can turn to you in prayer. And we can leave knowing that we are strengthened for the life we live here, but also knowing that any time we might have fear, you say to us, "Fear not, for you are with us." Help us always to remember that. For we do pray that the words of my mouth, together with meditation of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, for the past 7 weeks, if we count last Sunday when Pastor Rohrberg did not preach on this same sermon series, we've been looking at the teaching of Max Lucado in his book, Glory Days. This is the final week when Max wants us to be assured that we know that Jesus fights for us. This is from the opening pages of chapter 16. Nathan Curry was 13 years old, 5'2", and weighed, soaking wet, probably 100 pounds. His attackers were teenagers, larger than Nathan, and outnumbered him 7-1. For 30 minutes, they hit, kicked, and beat him. He never stood a chance. Curry's mom had recently moved the family to Philadelphia from Minnesota. She had lost her job as a motel maid and was looking for work. In 2000, she'd escaped war-torn Liberia. Nathan Curry, then, was the new kid in a rough neighborhood with a mom who was an unemployed immigrant. Everything a wolf pack of bullies needed to justify an attack. The hazing began weeks earlier. They picked on him. They called his mother names. They routinely pushed, shoved, and ambushed him. Then came the all-out assault on a January day. They dragged him through the snow, stuffed him into a tree, and suspended him on a 7-foot wrought iron fence. Curry survived the attack and would likely have faced a few more except for the folly of one of his bullies. He filmed the pile-on and passed it on YouTube. A passerby saw the violence and chased away the bullies. Police saw it and got involved. The troublemakers landed in jail, and the story reached the papers. A staffer at the nationwide morning show The View read the account and invited Curry to appear on the broadcast. He did. As the video of the assault played on the screen behind him, he tried to appear brave, but his lower lip quivered. "Next time, maybe it could be somebody smaller than me," he said. Unbeknownst to him, the producer had invited some other Philadelphians to appear on the show as well. As the YouTube video ended, the curtain opened, and three huge men walked out, members of the Philadelphia Eagles football team. Curry, a rabid fan, turned and smiled. One was All-Pro receiver DeSean Jackson. Jackson took a seat on the couch as close to the boy as possible and promised him, "Anytime you need us, I got two linemen right here." Curry's eyes widened saucer-like as Jackson signed the football jersey and handed it to him. Then, in full view of every bully in America, he gave the boy his cell phone number. From that day forward, Curry has been only a call away from his personal bodyguards. Thugs think twice before they harass the kid who has an NFL player's number on speed dial. Talk about bodyguards. God's people, for the past 2 months, as we have followed their journey from the wilderness into the promised land, were walking into a wolf pack of bullies. When they came to Jericho, they were met by the fortified walls of the city. The Amorites, whose land they were going to conquer as their own, held the home field advantage. Every army they encountered had more fighting men, more chariots, more horses, more artillery, more experience. The Israelites were the scrawny 5'2", 97-pound weakling, and they were facing one big bully after another. They needed a bodyguard, and they had one. One better than Deshaun Jackson and company. It was the first verse that we looked at way back in January. Joshua 1:5, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That was the promise the Lord made to Joshua and his people when this journey began. As it comes to a close, even as Joshua's life comes to a close, we find these words in chapter 23. Would you please read them with me? After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you." It was the Lord who fought for them. It is the Lord who fights for you. You know, we've seen him in action as we've traveled alongside Joshua and the people. Israel's bodyguard was the one giving the land to the people, the one doing amazing things for them. He dried up the Jordan River. He caused Jericho to fall. It's the same bodyguard who fights for us. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. That assurance is a promise we cannot take for granted. It's one we must not forget. Israel's bodyguard is now our bodyguard. The promise is made that he would never leave us or forsake us, just as he never left or forsake them as they stepped foot into the promised land. It's a promise repeated in the New Testament book of Hebrews. God will never, not ever leave us. He is our helper. He is our bodyguard. Max writes, "The Greek word for helper in Hebrews 13:6 is boeteia. From bo, which means shout, and teo, which means run. When you need help, God runs with a shout, 'I'm coming.' He never leaves you, ever. He never takes a break, takes a nap, or takes time off for vacation. He never leaves your side. Just as Joshua was snookered by the Gibeonites, people will try to deceive us. Just like Nathan Curry was bullied in his Philly neighborhood, we will encounter opposition. Sometimes even hostile rejection. Yet we need not fear. If you were here 2 weeks ago, and Joe Wilson, if you're listening later today to the podcast, this is where I had planned to put Superman up on the screen and say, "Never fear. Someone far greater than Superman is here. Our bodyguard God is here. He shares his strength. He imparts his love, infuses us with hope, never leaves us, fights for us. We have victory guaranteed us." Just imagine it. God fights for you. God, your bodyguard and mine, is none other than the creator and sustainer of the universe. God is the all-powerful, all-merciful Lord. It might be nice to have three large Philadelphia Eagles standing right behind you, but your God goes before you. God fights. He is a mighty warrior. Jesus, the commander of the armies of heaven, wages battle in your behalf. No one can stand against him and win. He didn't have to fight sin, death, or the devil. He didn't have to conquer the grave. He is God, perfect, holy, without sin. But for you, he suffered and died. For you, he rose triumphant over death. We'll enter into the season of Lent this week. Ash Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We'll spend 40 days in self-examination, seeing our sin and seeing our need for a Savior, seeing him fight for us all the way to the cross, where he will declare, "It is finished." Now, one of our older Easter hymns says it like this: "The battle's over, the victory's won. He fights, he wins." God fights for, not against. He is not against you. He is for you. He is on your side. He is for you. He's for your family. He's for your future. For you, he gave up his own son for you to be his son, his daughter, his own. God fights for you. Even with 2.2 billion Christians on this planet, your God is fully aware of your need. It's as though you were the only person on earth. You've probably heard it said that if God had a fridge, your picture would be on it. It's true. In fact, it's almost as if only your picture was on God's fridge. Only you. You know, it's easy for us now. Becca and I only have Jordan in the house, and so it's his stuff that's on the fridge. But back when we had two kids in the house at the same time, both of their stuff was on the fridge. I couldn't have chosen just one. I don't know how he does it, but he does. God loves each one of us as if we were the only one. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, and maybe you've been asked to do it before, to place your name right there and to say it this way: God so loved me, God so loved Ed, that he gave his one and only son, that if Ed believes in him, Ed shall not perish, but have eternal life. How? I don't know. Why? I can't understand it. True? You better believe it. Because if you do, you will not perish. You will have eternal life. This is where it all leads. If you have not ever believed in God as your Savior, if you've never called upon Him to be your bodyguard, now is the time. Call out to your helper now. He will come running to you shouting, "I'm coming." In fact, He's already here. He never leaves you. He always loves you. Or perhaps you're one of the 2.2 billion believers who trust in Jesus, but you're still living out in the wilderness of complaint, never content, never at rest, or the wilderness of doubt, not yet having the answers to all your questions, or the wilderness of bitterness, bitter at life, bitter toward others, bitter perhaps even at God. Now is the time to surrender to Him, to enter into the inheritance He has planned for you, for you, for you. There it is again. God is full of love. He is quick to forgive. He wants you to live in glorious days. My plan had been for us to recite together one more time the Glory Days Declaration. But instead, I felt led for us to recite together these words of Scripture. They come from Psalm 121. Again, would you please join with me? He won't let you stumble. Your guardian won't fall asleep. Not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian, right at your side to protect you. Shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. God fights for you and for your glory days. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds focused upon Christ Jesus unto life eternal. Amen. Our worship continues this morning. As we profess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, you're going to see those on the screen. Would you please stand?